for youth, parents, and other community members that can help keep children and families safe. Medication trackers, lock bags, lock caps, medication destruction packets, and more. Learn how to be educated, involved, and active participants in the fight against drug and alcohol use. More information at cccsos.org or 845-794-8080. Paid for by Catholic Charities of Orange, Sullivan, and Ulster.
Tell us what your favorite program is.
Oh, it's hard to pick one.
What I really love most is the unique music.
Late night cool music.
We love Ramble Tamble.
Yeah, the Ramble Tamble is our favorite.
Well, I'm a jazz fan.
My good friend Jason Tugar's show is particularly fun to listen to.
We just love it all.
We've heard from so many of your neighbors. Now we need to hear from you. Give now at WJFFradio.org.
Yes, that is WJFFradio.org. WJFFradio.org to make your donation, and please do make it now. We're going to be taking a look. We'll be taking a look at the progress so far, but letting you know that we got the local edition coming up next. So twice a day, 5 days a week, we bring you daily news programs, and we bring you local news all through the weekend, too. So local news every single day here on this very small listener-supported public radio station. And I'm asking you now to think about what that means to you and how much you're willing to give to keep this going, because whatever you can give, it is worth it. And whatever you can give, we are so grateful for. So please, give now. 845-482-4141. Make your donation now or go to WJFFradio.org. Just like listener Richard just did. Thank you so much. And making a recurring donation at the website. So there you go. That's how it happens. Thank you to Richard so much. So anyway, we have passed $35,000. We have passed the 64% mark of this fund drive. We are more than two-thirds of the way there. We're about two-thirds of the way there. We need your help to get the other third of the way there. So again, WJFFradio.org. That's where you can go to make your donation as we get into the local edition. This is Radio Catskill.
The Upper Delaware Council is seeking volunteers for the 4th Annual Upper Delaware Litter Sweep, April 14th through the 30th. They need individuals, students, groups, and businesses to help spring clean landscapes in 15 New York and Pennsylvania townships bordering the Upper Delaware Scenic and Recreational River. Council litter leaders will provide volunteers with a location, supplies, and volunteer t-shirts. More information at 845-252-3022 or upperdelawarecouncil.org. Paid for by the Upper Delaware Council.
From Radio Catskills Studios in Liberty, New York, this is the local edition. I'm your host, Jason Dole. And coming up in the program, if you haven't heard, there is a special election in Pennsylvania's 139th Legislative District on Tuesday. That's April 23rd. Special election to fill the vacant seat left by State Representative Joseph Adams. There are three candidates. We will have one of those candidates, Robin Schooley Skibber, talking to us in the second half of the program. Coming up in the first half of the program, we get the latest news from the River Reporter. Earlier today, I spoke to Ruby Rayner of the River Reporter, and she has a couple of stories to go over, including more details about this special election. So let's check in with Ruby Rayner, who I spoke to just earlier this afternoon, a few hours ago. And Ruby, welcome back to the local edition.
Thanks for having me.
So I know you're taking a look at a couple of stories, and I think let's start with the candidates for Pennsylvania's 139th, because it's Tuesday already. It's primary day in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, but there's also the special election in our area.
Just So everybody knows that the special election is for constituents and voters on Tuesday in the 139th district, and this comes on the heels of Joe Adams' resignation. And Amy Christopher, the director of the Wayne County Bureau of Elections, just wanted to make sure that it was clarified that the special election and that the Republican primary on the same day, but they have separate ballots. So Olsemer, one of the Republican committee's choice, and is running against Skibber in the special election. And then whoever wins the Republican primary will then run against, either it will be Olsemer or it will be Contreras. So that's the primary. So Contreras is not running in the special election, just the Republican primary.
Okay, and you could just say one more time who those candidates are and where they fall, just so everybody's clear.
Yes, so there's in the special election, the candidates are Olsemer, who's a Republican, and Skibber, who's a Democrat. And in the primary, the candidates are Contreras, who's a Republican, Olsemer, who's a Republican, and Skibber, who is a Democrat.
And also to clarify for people, when we're talking about the primary is party-based. We just did a whole story about this yesterday, that like you have to be a member of the party to vote in that primary, in this case the Republican Party. But the special election is open to everybody, regardless of party.
In the 139th.
In the 139th, yes.
The Board of Elections says they have been getting some calls of people on 11th thinking that they potentially could vote in 139th. So it's important that the special election, those eligible to vote on the 39th and for the primaries are registered to their affiliated parties and voting in those respectively.
So anything else that people need to know about this special election?
Yeah, I can tell you. Yeah, I can tell you a little bit about the contestants. And I guess the most, in terms of the primary, there's Republican Party, Contreras, and Olsemer. Republican Jeff Olsemer is a business owner who chairs the Sterling Township Board of Supervisors and serves on the Wayne Memorial Health Foundation. He said, like, in terms of policy and beliefs, that he wants to reduce taxes in favor of pro-growth policies, wants to invest in police as a means of providing protection and safety, and is also a pro-life advocate and was endorsed by pro-life and Second Amendment organization. And Contreras, he kind of he's been involved in Milford Township before. He's the other Republican in the Republican primary, and he is a really strong advocate for school choice, so not necessarily needing to go to a school in your allocated district, but allowing to choose where their children go to school, and has also spoken about reducing the Commonwealth budget. And then Skibber, the Democratic candidate who's running unopposed, has spoken about how mental health access has been like a real issue and something that she wants to focus on very greatly. She worked in Governor Josh Shapiro's office as on the food committee. She's a certified dietitian as well. She wants to make sure that health access is something that's prioritized. And she is an advocate for access to abortion for women and those who are pregnant, if that's something that they want, and also mentioned housing as another issue that is a focus for her, and enabling access to affordable housing.
Yes, so we're going to keep covering this special election and hopefully talk to one of the commissioners that help run the election in this district. And also, Ruby, the next segment that we got coming up on the local edition, we're going to be talking to one of those candidates. So that is coming up tonight here. So we're definitely on that. So thank you for giving us that bit of a pregame there. But you have another big story, and this is a recreational cannabis dispensary opening in Sullivan County. And this is the very first one, right?
Yeah, it's the the first recreational cannabis dispensary in Sullivan County, and it is has finally opened its doors. They're having their official grand opening on the 19th, but they are open currently now. And I spoke with the owner, Bernie Gonzalez, who shared about his journey in opening the store and relationship with the town of Thompson and the New York State Cannabis Office of Cannabis, who approves the licenses. And so I can share some interesting information about that process from his perspective, and also from supervisor of Thompson, Reber, about what this might mean for the town.
Yeah, so what are they saying about it?
And I think is something that could be a potential opportunity for a new avenue for towns with these recreational marijuana stores that are now finally opening. It's been 3 years since they were actually recreational marijuana was deemed legal in New York State, but we're now just seeing kind of in this area them finally opening their doors, which means that there's more, which tax is municipal tax attached to marijuana sales. So in addition to 9% sales tax, which is a New York State sales tax, there's 4% municipal tax, and that will go to the specific municipalities, which offers, you know, a potential for these towns like the town of Thompson, which this retail store just opened in, to reap some monetary benefits from that. Reber said that they have not just what they will do with any funds that come from these sales tax specifically. And that he said, you know, don't cut your eggs before they're hatched. And mentioned the casino that has not nearly kind of given them the local municipal tax benefit that they were told that it would. So he said, you know, it could be anywhere from $200 to $200,000. And so the town has not yet determined what exactly they will spend their money, this money on, because they don't really know how much it's actually going to be. But yeah. Gonzalez, the owner of the store, has said that it's been busy and it's only been a couple of weeks since they've been open.
Okay, great. And how's he feeling?
Yeah. He's feeling really good. He says everyone's has been very like happy and welcoming of the store. From people in the community, he said, like elder senior citizens have really been very happy and are coming in, as well as some younger folks, and that both seem to be very receptive and happy to welcome Platinum Leaf to the community.
Okay, Ruby, I want to thank you for going over all this news with us and keeping us up to date on what's happening in the community.
No problem.
And next up on the local edition, we are going to roll right along with more news, because in just 6 days, that's April 23rd, this coming Tuesday, the 139th Pennsylvania Legislative District's having a special election to fill the vacant seat left by State Representative Joseph Adams, who resigned in early February. There are three candidates, two Republicans who will have a primary, Jeff Alsamer and Matthew J. Contreras, and the Democrats have one candidate running for the special election, Robin Schooley Skibber, former director of the Pike County Area Agency on Aging. Radio Catskills' Patricio Rubio spoke to Robin Schooley Skibber earlier today on why she is running.
You were the former director for Pike County Area Agency on Aging. Can you describe a specific experience from your time there shaped your approach to public service?
Okay, that's a good question. Working with the Area Agency on Aging, you were under the policies of the Department of Aging, and which is under the ACL federally. We stem from the Older Americans Act from 1965, that we need to have services and programs for the most vulnerable older adults. It started with the nutrition program, grew from that into home care, home and supports in their communities to keep older people at home where they wanted to be. And from that, we are now in Pennsylvania, we're under the jurisdiction of In our case in Pike County was the county commissioners. There are some nonprofit area agencies on aging that have a governing board, but we were what we call public, and the commissioners were our bosses, so to speak. They were responsible for hiring and firing, promotions and things like that. So working in that system where you're state funded and you're abiding by what the local decisions are and serving local people, it became, I wouldn't say a balancing act, but a approach to know where the money's coming from, where it needed to go, and then justify it to the local powers to show that we were doing our due diligence and being good stewards of the state dollar, but also trying to provide as many services as were needed. And any type of human services environment, whether it be children and youth or aging, some of the other programs, you're usually outpaced by the demand than what your funds and program dollars can cover. So you're forced to work with the absolute most in need. And then we have programs that are mandated with protective services, which is a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week crisis line, for lack of a better word, to serve emergencies that happen with older adults with neglect, abuse, exploitation. So it sets up that you're doing as much as you can with a limited budget for the most people you can. So you want to get the biggest bang for your buck and serve the people in their own communities. So I think doing that for the 20 plus years I did taught me a lot about advocating, working with your state legislators, working with the commissioners and explaining where the needs were. And the needs change with the growing population. There were, and in the advent of a lot of the overdosing drugs, older adults became the caregivers for the young people and their family almost instantaneously, which is very difficult, as you could imagine, if you were 70 or 80 years old and now you're responsible for a teenager or something like that. So our programs had to change with the times, and we did advocate for more dollars. In Pennsylvania, we're very fortunate to have the lottery as our biggest funding source, and it is one of the only states that does that. So we're very fortunate. But that did not cover all of the needs. And we had waiting lists. We instituted cost share programs for the people that could pay some to stretch the service dollars to cover more people. So I think in that, it set up my understanding of how to work through the governmental process, through legislation. We advocated for certain bills, certain protections for the funding dollars, advocating for a fair funding formula through the different counties. Over the years, some counties lost older adult populations, some gained. And we, as a border state too, both New York and New Jersey, we gained quite a lot of new residents, especially since 1000 and again after the pandemic.
Right. Now, this is your first time trying to hold a public office. Why did you decide to run?
Okay, so I was appointed as the Area Agency on Aging. I was not a candidate, or I did not have to campaign. It is an appointed position. So this is the first time I've entered into a campaign for public office. And I think it was what we say our slogans is right time, right choice. For me, it worked out because I had just left my position and I had some time to do some fun things and travel and gain some more farm animals and things like that. But my work and my serving the greater community never leaves you. So when the opportunity to continue working in my community and into Wayne County, which is fairly similar to Pike, and have a broader stroke and keep learning. I learn things every single day, and I wanted to take that chance and be the person that continues to serve older adults, people with disabilities, their families, young people. I grew up here. My kids were raised here. I know the challenges, and I think I can fight for some of the programs and services that I think we need.
And you talked about a little bit before when I first asked you about your approach to public service. And so you envision that your experience with the agency on aging can translate to the broader demographic of your area and influence the way you handle public policy. Is that correct? Or?
Yeah. Yes. I think we learn a lot when there's certain legislation that comes through. When we had the Protective Services Act change and you have to navigate. Does it affect the staff? Does it affect response time? Do things happen in the Commonwealth, especially, and they happen in other states as well. When a bill gets passed, it can affect, obviously, there's usually an appropriation piece or a budget piece to it, but also the laws affecting it and like the Law Enforcement Act of the Protective Services. So it touches on different pieces. So it's not, if you just need money for this project and you ask for it, that's different. That's like a grant. But for things that have sweeping effects to make sure that the laws change going forward, I think it's important to understand that process, and it doesn't happen quickly. And maybe that's one of the biggest things people learn working in the government entity. It takes time.
Now let's talk about some of the issues that the 139th is facing. Given the ongoing issues such as fentanyl crisis and mental health inadequacies, what are your first steps that you would take to address these in the legislature?
That's a good question. And the fentanyl crisis it's very traumatic, and it affects every aspect of the community, from law enforcement, families, the hospitalizations, mental health, and substance abuse treatments. So it has a lot of effect, and having a collaborative environment to maybe put more effort on the front end with education and prevention can always save more lives and dollars. And I don't want to equate it like that, but it's true. It's in chronic diseases, but especially with mental health and substance abuse, the more you prevent, the more crisis you're going to run into. The problem that we face, like many other areas, is the lack of program dollars for the prevention and the lack of therapy and counseling providers that are out there. There has been a great win with telehealth, but there are certain things that have to happen with telehealth. And that's more, of course, on the mental health side, but there is counseling groups and support groups for NAMI, mental health support groups, and the substance abuse support groups. So I believe there's stuff that's online, which is great. It's just getting the people connected in Sullivan and in Wayne and Pike County. Sometimes internet and access to those programs is not.
I talked to someone else about this particular issue about connectivity. And one of the things that came out of the pandemic was a lot of things went online, and like therapy really boomed online, and you were able to have therapy online and have access to that. But if you're living in those areas that don't have connectivity, you're out of luck with that. And also just transportation issues. You could maybe see your therapist, but you have to drive 40 minutes away if you have a car. If you don't have a car, it's tough with public transportation. I believe where you are, there is some kind of public transportation.
Yes, in Pike and Wayne and throughout the counties in Pennsylvania, PennDOT has a shared ride program. So it does serve seniors 65 and older, and has a greatly reduced per person fare. And it is a shared ride, so they can access their shopping, their banking, their medical appointments, senior center socialization. It is limited because of the nature of our areas and the fact that we don't have one specific health system. Many of the vans are out of the county. A lot of the day going to Wayne County and over to New York, Newton, Wilkes-Barre. So that has its own challenges to be available for the people in the county to go to things when the vans are, they prioritize medical and dialysis appointments. And the wonderful thing is it does do free transportation for people on medical assistance. So that's a great benefit. And then also it has a reduced fare for people with disabilities can also rise. You do not have to be a senior to access it. But again, it is very limited because of the nature of our area. And that would be something I would like to help in any way as a state legislator, work on some pilot programs or extended hour programs for services.
Right. I want to stay on the topic of healthcare here. One of the things you said, you are committed to protecting access to women's healthcare, including abortion, is one of your sort of highest priorities. The opponents that are running in the special election, the two Republicans running in the primary, are both anti-choice. So let's talk about that, about how do you like to protect access to women's healthcare? Because that's also a national thing. That's what's on really happening, really one of the big topics that's coming up here for November. Yes. So your capacity, how would you help protect the access to women's healthcare?
Again, the access to the services, if you go on Planned Parenthood, which I'm an endorsed candidate by, there's no local areas that provide Planned Parenthood services. You have to go down to Lehigh County or maybe Luzerne County or over to New Jersey for the basic services that they provide, contraceptive health, some mental health counseling, STDs, testing, and things like that, as well as clinic services. For right off the bat, there's just not the amount of providers that are doing the service. And to have laws in other states that are actually shutting down total access is, we're going backwards. Roe versus Wade happened for a reason, and there are states that want to go back to pre-Roe versus Wade. A woman's ability to provide her own health care and her provider to make that decision should be private between them, whether it be termination, whether it be sex education, like whatever it is, it shouldn't be garnered by a legislator who doesn't believe it's a correct thing to do.
So like I said, we have April 23rd is the special election, also primary for the Republicans there. Come November, you're going to face either one of them or basically all hold a seat up until November and then have a runoff with them. Why should folks vote for you over any of your other opponents?
I worked with Republican legislators as well as Democratic commissioners and legislators, and everyone's working together. You have to. You can't be polarizing. And I've said this before, I think we all meet in the middle more than most people think. And I've talked to so many of my friends and constituents that think having me in the House is going to be a benefit because they've seen what I've been doing. And people want very similar things for them, their families. Their young people want a good education, and they don't want their children to have to move to other states to get a good paying job. They love this area. They love this whole Northeast Pennsylvania into New York State area because it's beautiful and we provide those benefits and we're so close to New York City. So we have the best of both worlds. But is it easy? No, it's going to be a challenge to balance what we want to protect versus where we need to keep smart growth, better paying jobs, and things like that. We're hoping that we can get an urgent care or some type of an acute care facility in our region because that drives dollars out of the area. When people are going to Scranton, they're going to Newton, they're taking their dollars with them. They have to get gas. They have to buy lunch. Like all of that leaves our area because we don't have that network of mini hospitals, whatever it might look like. And or urgent cares. So I think it's very important. And also it'll help our emergency services if they can transport somebody less than 40 miles away, which is what some of their trips are right now.
It's amazing to think about that, not having urgent care nearby. Anyway, Robin, thank you so much for talking to me. We'll talk to the Democrat candidate, Robin Schooley Skibber, who's running in the special election on April 23rd, also running for the general election in November. Thank you so much for talking to us, letting us know about the issues and what your thoughts on the issues, and good luck this Tuesday.
Thank you very much, Patricia. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you, Patricio, for that interview. And yes, we're going to keep you informed about this special election and primary day coming up in